All right, now, we've been talking about grace, and we've been talking about justice. I just shared with you from 1 Samuel chapter 2, more very, very clear evidence that God does reward and God does punish. And I really do want to encourage people who have it in, within their power to do good for many, many people. And they have it in their power to do evil to many, many people. I do want to encourage you, please do the good. I really would like for you to go all the way and submit your lives to Christ, because let me tell you, when you truly love God, I was sharing with you all a little earlier, when you really, I mean, you're truly caring about your relationship with the Father. You're truly caring about your relationship with the Lord Jesus. You're truly caring about your relationship with the Spirit of God. You really care about people. And let's just face it. It is my desire that as many people as are willing will reconnect with our Creator. Allow the Lord to bring you out of the kingdom of darkness into His kingdom, so that when this temporary phase of life is over, you can spend your eternal phase of life in eternal peace and eternal joy in the presence of our eternal Father, the eternal Son, the eternal Spirit of God. That's my preference. Of course, each person decides for himself, herself. I understand that, and I accept that. My request is that you submit. No matter how wealthy you may be, no matter how poor you may be, no matter where you are in between those two extremes, no matter what your ethnicity, no matter what your gender, no matter what your nationality, no matter what your family culture is, you are ultimately a creation of God, a human being who owes his or her existence to the Creator of all life. And the best situation for any of us is to have an intimate relationship with that Creator of all life. So give it some serious consideration. I mean, spend some time thinking deeply about this. In the meantime, as I was sharing a little earlier, we've been talking about grace and we've been talking about justice. We have defined the two. We've given illustrations of the two. We've shared biblical passages that contain each of those. I'm now going to share with you a song from the first chapter of Luke. This song is one that flowed from the heart of Mary, the mother of Jesus, when she had visited her cousin Elizabeth at the time that Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist and Mary was pregnant with the Lord Jesus. Listen to this song that Mary sang. Again, Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. And as I share with you this song, as I read this song, see if you can pick up on indicators of grace in the song and or indicators of justice in the song. Here we go. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord." She was singing this song as a song of celebration regarding this tremendous, tremendous deed that God had done her, impregnating her with the Savior of the world. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Notice she's referring to Savior as God. God as Savior. "For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Did you hear grace anywhere in there? Did you hear justice anywhere in there? Remember now, basically speaking, grace is unmerited favor. Grace is basically being given something good that we did not earn, do not deserve, just out of the generosity of his, of the kindness of who he is, God gives it, or God does it. Now, grace can sometimes refer to power. It just depends on the context. It depends on what passage is being used in. For our purposes of this discussion today, right now, grace would have to do with that unmerited favor. All right. We've talked about justice. So let's see if we can identify grace, and see if we can identify justice in this passage, in this song. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." That's grace. She did nothing to earn that. Now, she was a good and noble woman, technically a good and noble teenager, because she wasn't an adult the way we think of adults. You know, someone who's in their early 20s, mid-20s. She was a preteen or a teenager, literally. They married much younger then. And the females were ready for marriage. In that culture, at that point in history, they were ready for marriage. They were ready to begin having children. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Grace. She did not earn that wonderful treatment from God, the Mighty One. His mercy, and remember, the word mercy ties into the word grace. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. There's an instance of grace. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. Now, here are the mighty deeds. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. These are people who are full of themselves, and he scattered them. That's justice. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. We see there justice and grace. Justice and grace. It was just for God to bring down rulers from their thrones. Evil ones, wicked ones who just won't do right. It was gracious of God to lift up the humble. Let's look at this some more when we come back. We're, you know, just developing that ability to identify instances of God's grace and instances of his justice.